Today, we get to experience the Gospel of Mark's telling of Jesus' baptism and the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. I think I like Mark's telling of the story better than the other Gospels. I like it because this is one of those cases where less is more. Mark does not have John the Baptist and Jesus entering into a theological conversation about whether or not Jesus should be baptized by John, or whether Jesus should actually baptize the baptizer. Jesus just comes from Galilee to the River Jordan. He commits himself to the water, and John baptizes him. Like in Matthew and Luke, Mark does understand the importance of including what happens when Jesus comes up from the water. Jesus sees the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." God was letting Jesus know that through the waters of his baptism, things in his life were going to be different. Very different. God wanted Jesus to know that he was not alone in the new journey. God wanted Jesus to know that the Spirit would guide him. God wanted Jesus to know that he was God's child and that he was God's beloved. And God wanted Jesus to know that what he did that day pleased God. God was pleased with Jesus that he chose to journey from the comforts of his life and enter into the baptism of change, the baptism of John's message that called for people to repent, that is, to physically turn away. This baptism called people to change their minds and to change their hearts in such a way that changed their actions and changed their inactions. In this new way of living, they were to believe in the good news and then proclaim it by living into it, fully living into this new understanding. Immediately following his baptism, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. I like the Gospel of Mark 2 here because it doesn't say that the Spirit drove Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted. It doesn't say the Spirit drove him there to be tempted. The Spirit knew that Jesus needed to process what it meant to be God's beloved child, and what it might look like to live a life that continued to please God. Jesus needed time to think, to pray, and to listen. Just like the Spirit acted quickly to give Jesus what he needed, Satan jumped in there as well. Satan knew that this was the best chance to influence Jesus, to tempt him to change, but this change would look and sound differently. This change would be pleasing to evil and not to the ultimate goodness of God. I also like that Mark does not tell us what the temptations actually were. We do get to hear those in Matthew and Luke, but Mark doesn't give us those temptations. The simple knowledge of Satan trying to tempt Jesus allows us as listeners to enter into the many possibilities that Satan might have used to influence Jesus in his humanity. It gives us the opportunity to ask for ourselves, what might Satan do to tempt us from living into our baptism of change, belief, proclamation, and action of the good news? We do know from today's gospel reading that Satan used fear with the presence of the wild beasts. And though we learned that the wilderness ended up being a safe place for Jesus, those 40 days were very difficult on him. The angels, God's messengers, they needed to come and tend him. Just as Jesus entered into a new life of change, we too joined him on this lifelong journey at our baptisms. This journey of the Spirit has now led us through the darkness of Ash Wednesday and into our own 40 days of Lenten wilderness. It is in this special time of our liturgical year that we are led to seek a safe place within us, a wilderness to process what it means to live as a beloved child of God. It's a time to listen, a time to ask tough questions, and then a time to listen some more. It is a time to seek deeply in our souls the ways in which we have been tempted by evil, things that have driven us to act and driven us to just keep idle. These things that are not pleasing to God. It is this time that we once again embrace the change of the gospel and seek repentance that will reconnect us into a healthy relationship with the good news. When Jesus left his wilderness, he didn't just proclaim the love of God through his words, he did it through relationships. He looked deeply within people as he stood face to face with them. He listened to their stories and connected to their joys and their pain. He brought healing into their broken world as he touched them both physically and spiritually. It is when we connect to people that we seem to be driven to engage in words and actions that bring healing into their lives or others' lives. I mean, if we think about it, you may never really engage in wanting to raise money or awareness for breast cancer until you know somebody or yourself who is afflicted with it. Then it becomes important, right? Many of us over the years didn't even acknowledge, as if they didn't even exist, the LGBTQ community until somebody that we know, somebody that we can engage with and have a relationship with, comes out as being a part of that community, and then we start caring about it. We start noticing. We start doing something. All kinds of things fall into that category that we have to actually have a connection in which to move us from inaction into action. I heard a story this week, and I wanted to see if it was true. It was about a church that a friend of mine is at, and a priest friend from seminary. I had heard a story about Carmen. I had heard about this incredible girl, how active she was at his church, St. Mary Magdalene, in Coral Springs, Florida. I had heard, which is true, he told me, she was the leader of their youth group. She sang in their choir. And at 16, she sat on their vestry. A leader in the church. Someone who clearly was fed by the Spirit in a way that brought her not just sitting in a pew, but actually doing something to help spread the good news in the world. She was a National Merit Scholarship Program semifinalist. She was a pianist. She had just performed last Saturday at Broward College for the South Florida Music Teachers Association. It was their spring festival. Great accomplishments. Great drive. Mark, my friend, said, yes. Yes. One of their youth had died in the school shooting. They were distraught, as you can imagine, not even knowing where to turn on this Ash Wednesday. Of course, besides the 17 people who lost their lives, there were 14 others who were wounded. I'm not worried about the 17. They're taken care of. I am worried about the 14 who that day encountered new physical scars on their body. One brother who lost his life, and the other brother whose bullet skimmed the back of his head and lived. Scars, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it's not just those 14. It's that whole community. It's those kids that stepped over the bodies of their friends seeking shelter. The trauma that they're experiencing will not be healed. And it will carry over from them into the rest of their life, into their children, into their grandchildren. They're not going to get healed because we don't spend any money on mental health. They will not have what they need to overcome this. We will never do anything until we're connected. So easy to say, it's over there, or it's over there, and I don't know them, and I don't have to turn on the TV, and I don't have to see their faces on the computer, but we do today. We have to connect. Meadow, a senior, excited about her upcoming graduation. Nicholas, too, a senior. He had just signed to swim at Indianapolis University. He wanted to be on the Olympic team in 2020. And those are just a couple things. What does it take to connect to them and to their families and to their friends? Jamie, what a picture that is. Clearly, a girl with a lot of spunk. Alyssa was on the school soccer team. Christopher, athletic director, coach, but also he was one of their security guards, and that's how he got killed. He was responding as the security guard to go to help protect kids, and he lost his life. There's Luke in front of his Christmas tree. It's a great little shot. Aaron grew up in that school, played football for that school, and later came back as their coach and was just loved by everybody. I saw a cartoon yesterday, small little black and white, and it had this little girl, and she said, "Welcome, Aaron, come in." And it was all the other students and teachers behind her who had died in school shootings. It was a powerful little cartoon. Scott died. He was a teacher. He died when he stopped to open up a classroom door to let kids in. And the kids made it in, and he didn't. I like that picture of Gina. That word luck really sticks out, doesn't it? And Alex. What are their stories? Do we care? If we know about it, we have to connect to them. If we connect to them, we have to feel their pain. And if we feel their pain, we might have to act on it. Peter, and said Peter loved Disneyland. He was also junior ROTC. I like the picture of Elena eating her ice cream. I want to taste it. Martin and Elena, what are their stories? Kara, I love that shot of Kara. Kara was a dancer. That's what she longed to do. And there's Joaquin. Joaquin is the kid who loved to be unique. His hair is not dyed in this picture. I found one where it was, but it wasn't very clear, so I didn't want to use it. But this one, this 17-year-old is the one who would dye his hair and put funky stripes in it just to be different. You got those people in your lives? You know that person? What if they were him? Now, if you think I'm preaching gun control, I'm not. I don't want you to come out of here and think that. What I'm preaching here is change. What a great time. If there was ever a time to have such a crappy thing happen, would be Ash Wednesday. A time that we can move into our intentional time of trying to seek out the way in which we're tempted to act or not to act. What are our temptations? Are there our temptations that we simply say, you know, I can't do anything? That's a temptation. Is it a temptation to blame all gun owners? It is for some people. That didn't do any good. Is it a temptation to say, because you're a gun owner, that you support an ideology that thinks everyone should have guns? That doesn't do any good. Is it simply to blame society? Is that your temptation? If society's just gone to hell, the music, the video games, the movies. No, it's just a temptation. Is it a temptation to blame their parents? Is it a temptation to just say, well, it's because they're mentally ill? What an easy temptation to blow it off. Oh, it's a time of Lent for us to be able to actually listen, pray, listen some more. And the little thing I left off a while ago was then when we come out of this Lent to have action and not inaction. Because that inaction is evil. I don't know the solution. But whatever it is, it's not easy. And that to make it happen, we actually have to be willing to be wrong. We have to be willing to come to a table and have a conversation. And we have to be willing to just lay all that pressure that society puts on us, we have to lay it aside. We have to accept the good news and push away evil temptations. What happens? What happens when we come out of Lent and we've done our listening and our praying and our listening? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.